Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 42. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew records the instructions that Christ the King gives his ambassadors. And Matthew records the ordination sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples, his ambassadors, to encourage and prepare them. And in this sermon, the king had something to say to all of his servants, his past, present, and future servants. So we said that we need to recognize the message of this chapter with the verses in the right context, or else the chapter will seem hopelessly confusing. For we find instructions for the apostles in Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 to 15. And then we see instructions for future disciples. Matthew chapter 10 verses 16 to 23. Matthew 10, 16 to 23. Then we see instructions for present disciples in Matthew chapter 10 verses 24 to 42. Now we looked into verses 1 to 23 last Sunday. And so we will move on today into the rest of the chapter, starting from verse 24. Instructions for present disciples. Matthew chapter 10 verses 24 to 42. Now the truths in this section, verses 24 to 42, would apply to God's servants during any period of Bible history. Yet, they seem to have a special significance for the church today. And the emphasis here in verses 24 to 42 is fear not, fear not. Matthew chapter 10 verse 26. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Again in verse 28, Matthew 10 verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew chapter 10 verse 31. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. The particular fear that Jesus is speaking about is explained in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So this fear is the fear of confessing Christ openly before men. That is the fear. You see, God has no secret service. The public confession of faith in Christ is one evidence of true salvation. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now there are several reasons why we must not be afraid to openly confess Christ. And this chapter in verses 24 to 42, we see seven reasons why we must not be afraid to openly confess Christ. Let's examine these reasons that are found here in Matthew 10 verses 24 to 42. Number one, suffering is predicted and it is to be expected. Matthew 10 verses 24 and 25. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So suffering is predicted. Men persecuted Jesus Christ our Lord when he was ministering here on earth. So why should we, his disciples, why should we expect anything different? We are his disciples, and the disciple does not outrank the master. They said that Jesus was in league with Satan. That's what they said. The word Beelzebub actually means the Lord of Dung, the Dung God. And this was a name of Satan. And they equated Jesus with Satan. They said that Jesus was in association with Satan, and so they will say the same thing. They said Jesus was in association with Satan, and so they will say the same thing about us, his followers. But we should count it a privilege to suffer for Christ and with Christ. When the apostles were persecuted, we read in the book of Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 verse 41, then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. The apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Number two, God will expose everything. He will bring everything to light. Matthew chapter 10 verses 26 to 27. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. The enemies of Christ use secret and deceptive means to oppose the gospel. But true believers are open, and they are courageous in their lives, and they are bold in their witness. Their boldness is not being foolhardy. It is not being reckless. We are called to be prudent in our witnessing. Remember Matthew chapter 7 verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Yes, it is true that we must carry the gospel to every people group in the world and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28 verse 19, that's the Great Commission. Matthew 28 verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But it is also true that we must not cheapen the gospel by a ministry that lacks discernment. Remember, Jesus refused to talk to Herod. Luke 23 verse 9. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The Apostle Paul refused to argue with people who resisted the word of God. Paul reasoned with the Jews and Greeks every Sabbath in the synagogue in Corinth, but we read in Acts chapter 18 verse 6, and when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Again in the synagogue in Ephesus, this is what happened. Acts chapter 19 verses 8 to 10. Acts 19 verses 8 to 10. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have nothing to hide. I have said nothing in secret, said Jesus in John 18 verse 20. I have said nothing in secret. False witnesses lied about Jesus during his trial, but God saw to it that the truth came out. We have nothing to fear because the Lord will one day reveal the secrets of men's hearts and he will expose them and judge them. Romans chapter 2 verse 16. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So our task is not to please men, but to proclaim God's message boldly, clearly, speaking the truth in love. The present judgment of men does not frighten us, because we are living in the light of the future judgment of God. Number 3, we don't fear people because we fear God alone. We fear God alone. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, all that men can do is kill the body. That's all they can do. The only thing that they can do is kill the body. And if they do that, the believer's soul still goes home to be with the Lord. Remember the words of Stephen before he was killed. Acts 7 verses 59 and 60. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10 verse 28. You see, the believer fears God and he lives his life in reverence of God. He knows that it is God who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So he fears God and he lives for God. Of course, God will never condemn one of his own children. John 5 verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So God will never condemn any of his own children. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Martin Luther caught this truth when he wrote this verse in his hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. It's a beautiful hymn. And this verse goes this way. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. So the person who fears God alone, he need never fear any man or group of men. The fear of God is the fear that cancels every other fear. Number four, God cares for his own children. God cares for his own children. Matthew chapter 10 verses 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, it did not cost much to purchase sparrows in the market. If we compare these verses with Luke 12 and verse 6, we discover that sparrows were so cheap that the dealer threw in an extra one. Instead of a pair, you get an extra sparrow. Luke chapter 12 verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Our Father in heaven knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, and the Father is there. So if God cares for sparrows in such an amazing way, will he not also care for his own children who are serving him? He certainly will care for them. To God, we are of greater value than many sparrows. God is concerned about all of the details of our lives. Even the hairs of our head are numbered, not counted in a total, but numbered individually. That gives me great comfort. And when I run through my hair in the morning and I look at the table and I find quite a bit has fallen. But it says here, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Matthew chapter 10 verses 30 and 31. God sees the sparrow fall to the ground. And God sees when a hair falls from the head of one of his children. When he protects his own, God protects them right down to the individual hairs. When Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 3 verses 23 to 27, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Luke chapter 21 verse 18. But not a hair of your head will perish. So there is no need for us to fear when God is exercising such wonderful care over us, his children. Number five. Jesus Christ honors those who confess faith in him, so we must not fear. Matthew chapter 10 verses 32 to 33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. To acknowledge Christ before men means to confess faith in him publicly. This means much more than just to make a statement with the lips. It also means to back up that statement with our very lives. Our lives that are surrendered to him and obedient to him. It is one thing to say Jesus Christ is Lord, and quite another thing to surrender to him and obey his will. So the walk and the talk must go together. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10 verse 32. In heaven, our Lord Jesus has two special ministries. As our high priest, he gives us grace and he gives us strength and he keeps us from sinning. He gives us grace and strength and he keeps us from sinning. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So as our high priest in heaven, he gives us grace and strength to keep us from sinning. As our advocate in heaven, he forgives us and he restores us when we fall into sin. Sin is not a habit in the life of a believer. Sin is an exception. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 to 2. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 to 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Listen carefully now. The merits of his heavenly intercession as our great high priest, the merits of his heavenly work of intercession do not depend on our faithfulness. Because he is faithful, even if you are not faithful. The merits of his heavenly intercessory work is not dependent on our faithfulness. Because he is faithful, even if we are not faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 12 to 13. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But the benefits of his heavenly ministry are for those who are faithful to him. The benefits of his heavenly ministry are for those who are faithful to him. When Christ confesses us before the Father, he is securing for us the benefits of the finished work that he did for us on the cross. When he denies us before the Father, he is unable to share these graces with us. The fault is ours, not his. But something else is involved. One day, we will, as believers, stand before his judgment seat. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the white throne judgment. This is the judgment unto reward. So as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will face the judgment seat of Christ where the rewards will be distributed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So everything that we do as believers in Christ, we will have to give an account and we will receive a reward accordingly. Romans chapter 14 verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. When we as believers deny him on earth, when we as believers in Christ, when we deny him on earth, we lose the benefits of his heavenly ministry for us. We don't lose our salvation. We lose the joy of salvation. We lose fellowship with him. We lose fellowship with him. If we have denied him, we will also lose rewards. We will also lose rewards and the joy of hearing his commendation. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So be sure that you walk in fellowship and intimacy with him and obey him wholeheartedly as a true disciple surrendered to him. To be sure, anyone who denies him on earth may be forgiven. Remember Peter. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but he repented and he was forgiven and he was restored. Number 6, the 6th reason why we must not fear confessing Christ publicly. We cannot escape the battle. We cannot escape the battle. Matthew chapter 10 verses 34 to 39. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Once we have identified with Jesus Christ and confessed him as Savior and Lord of our lives, then we are part of a war. Remember, I've told you many times, the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. We did not start the war. God declared war on Satan. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. On the night our Lord Jesus was born, the angels declared, on earth peace. Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. But Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Matthew 10 verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. If Israel had accepted the Messiah, he would have given them peace. But the people refused him. And the result was a sword. The result was a sword. But instead of there being peace on earth, there is peace in heaven. Luke chapter 19 verses 37 to 38. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross so that men can be reconciled to God and to each other. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Yes, one day there will indeed be peace on earth in the millennial reign of Christ. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 6. Isaiah 11 verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 65 verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Micah chapter 4 verse 3. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It's not the United Nations that can bring peace into the world. It is only Christ the King, when he rules on earth, he will bring peace into this world. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Yes, there will be perfect peace during that reign. The only way a believer can escape the battle today is to deny Christ and compromise his witness. And this would be sin. Then the believer would be at war with God and with himself. While we live as witnesses for Christ today, we are bound to be misunderstood and persecuted even by those who are the closest to us. Yet, we must not allow this to affect our witness. It is important that we suffer for the Lord Jesus' sake and for righteousness' sake, and not because we ourselves are difficult to live with. There is a difference between the offense of the cross and offensive Christians. Galatians chapter 5 verse 11. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. When the gospel is proclaimed, some people are bound to get offended. Not all will believe the truth. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Each believer must make the decision once and for all to love Christ supremely and take up his cross and follow Christ. Matthew 10, 37 to 38. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, our love for Christ must exceed all other loves. Luke records the words of Jesus in Luke 14, verses 26 to 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children. You see, we must love Christ supremely, even more than we love our own flesh and blood. The word hate that is used there, does not suggest positive antagonism. That is not what it means. What it means is to love less. We see this in Jacob's love for Rachel more than his love for Leah. Genesis chapter 29 verses 30 and 31. So Jacob went in to Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So the Bible explains this love in comparison by saying, as when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. Actually, Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Our love for Christ must be so strong that all other love is like hatred in comparison. In fact, we must hate our own lives in this sense and be willing to bear the cross and follow Christ. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14 verse 27. What does it mean to carry the cross? It means daily identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in shame, in suffering, and surrender to God's will. It means death to self, to our own plans and to our own ambitions, and a willingness to serve Christ as he directs us, as he leads us. John chapter 12 verse 23 to 28. John chapter 12 verses 23 to 28. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." A cross is something we willingly accept from God as part of his will for our lives. To carry the cross does not mean to wear a cross pin on our collar or put a sticker on our vehicle. It means to confess Christ and obey him in spite of shame and suffering. It means to die to self daily. If the Lord Jesus went to a cross for us, the least we can do is carry a cross for him. The least that we can do is carry a cross for him. Matthew chapter 10 verse 39. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 10:39 presents us with only two alternatives. Spare your life or sacrifice your life. Spare your life or sacrifice your life. There's no middle ground. If we protect our own interests, we will be losers. But if we die to self and live for God's interests, then we will be winners. Since the spiritual battle is inevitable in this world, why not die to self and let Christ win the battle for us and in us? After all, the real war is inside. The real war is inside. Selfishness versus sacrifice, that's the real war. The seventh reason why we must not be afraid. The seventh reason is we can be a blessing to others. Matthew chapter 10 verses 40 to 42. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Not everyone will reject our witness. There are those who will welcome us and they will receive a blessing. After all, we are the ambassadors of the King of Kings. Our King will see to it that they are rewarded for what they do. When people receive us, they welcome Christ the King because we are his ambassadors, we are his representatives. When people mistreat the envoys of the King, they are rejecting the King. They are rejecting the King himself. One day, the King himself will call them to account. The blessings or rewards are different in kind, depending on the kind of ambassador who is sent and received. If he receives the ambassador who is a prophet, a spokesman for God, then he gets one reward. When he receives the ambassador who is a righteous man, there is another reward. But even a cup of cold water given with the right spirit brings its own reward. So don't lose out on your reward. Be hospitable to God's ambassadors. But we need to keep in mind one thing before we close our study today. We need to keep in mind one thing. Keep in mind that the theme of this last section is discipleship. It's not sonship. We become children of God through faith in Christ. We are disciples as we faithfully follow him and obey his will. Sonship does not change. That is an established fact for eternity. That's an established reality for eternity. Sonship does not change. But discipleship does change as we walk with Christ. We grow as we walk from one degree of glory to another. In discipleship, we get closer and closer to the heart of God. There is a great need today for faithful disciples, believers who will learn from Christ and live for him. This brings us to the close of the first major division in the Gospel of Matthew, the revelation of the King of Kings. That's the first division in the book, in the Gospel of Matthew, the first 10 chapters. We have seen who Christ is. We have seen the person of Christ in Matthew chapters 1 to 4. In Matthew chapters 1 to 4, we have seen the person of Christ. We have seen the principles of Christ in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. We have seen the power of Christ. We have seen the power of Christ in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. And we have seen the instructions of Christ to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. How will the nation of Israel respond to this revelation? That we will see when we go on to study about the response as we study the rest of the Gospel of Matthew. But the question to us is, What is our response? What is our response to the person of Christ? What is our response to his principles? What is our response to his power? And what is our response to his instructions? That is a question that each one of us must answer individually. So make sure your response is truly positive and enjoy your fellowship with Christ as his obedient disciple. Let's bow our heads in prayer.